Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is the story of the two sons who were asked to go to work in the vineyard from Matthew chapter 21. Get up! Get out of bed! Clean up this room! Make your bed, hang up your clothes, and go put the dishes away from last night in the kitchen. Honestly, you kids act as if you're always on vacation. These words sound familiar. From the parable Jesus told about the two sons who wouldn't go to work, it is apparent that children who do not know the business end of a broomstick are not a recent development to the planet. He told the story of two sons, one who said he would go work in his father's vineyard but didn't go, and the other one who told his father point blank, "I will not go," but then later on he changed his mind and did go to work. The vineyard is an ancient symbol of the church itself, the place where the Lord gathers his people around himself on earth. There are several ways to apply this ancient parable that Jesus told. First of all, it addresses the nation of Israel in the Old Testament times, where the people that God bought out of slavery and brought to the promised land promised themselves that they would follow all the Lord's commandments and ways. But after generation and generation, they slipped into immorality and worship of idols. Therefore, God called other nations to come and punish Israel. We can apply it to the people who were listening to Jesus preach it that day, this parable. The chief priests and the religious teachers said that they would live a life of devotion and service to God in the vineyard. But they loved their positions of power so much that they would not receive this Messiah when he came to them. Meanwhile, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and sinners flocked to Jesus because he held out to them something different than the priests did. He offered to them a vision of a loving and merciful God. And we can apply it to ourselves today as well. If we could see ourselves the way God does, I think it wouldn't be unlike spoiled children that we appear to him. Much like children who'd rather watch TV or sleep in than clean their room and take care of their responsibilities. The church is a vineyard. It's a place where God nourishes his people with good food. But it's also a place where his people go to serve him. God calls us all to work in his vineyard. Today, many people see their church as not a vineyard in which to work, but more like kind of a shopping mall or amusement park where the work is done for them. I suppose that first son in Jesus' story saw it the same way. Why should I go work in Dad's vineyard? After all, he's got slaves to do that. No, I'm going to stay here today. I'm going to let them take care of all that work. So he said he'd go to work, but he never showed up. That's a major problem in the church of today, where it's always someone else's job to take care of the sick, to teach the young, to share the gospel. Well, don't get me wrong, I'm not against calling pastors and teachers and other church workers. I'm glad to be one of those people. But we should not think that they are here to do our God-given work for us, but rather to lead, guide, and assist us in our God-given work. When a child is born to us, we are so grateful that a healthy child has come. Those first few years of love are full of love and sacrifice for that little soul who is totally dependent on us for everything as parents. We hold that child in our arms at the font here, and we promise that we will do everything to raise it right. We promise to teach that child, that son or daughter, the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer, to place into their hands the Holy Scriptures, and to bring them to the services of God's house regularly. We recognize that this is a part of our work in the vineyard. As that child grows older, we find it harder and harder to keep our responsibilities, to keep our promise to God. Family gets overcommitted to all kinds of things, to sports, to activities, to music lessons, to vacations. We've done everything else that God asked. We've well nourished a child, educated, they're well clothed. But the one thing that the Lord has asked us to do most of all, that is to bring up that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord and learn his word and his grace, we have not done. I say this because I once saw the father of a former student of mine. I asked him how his son was doing. And the man said something like, well, he's dropped out of school and he's moved in with his friends. We don't see him very much of him. We invite him to come to church with us, Pastor, but we're lucky if we see him every other weekend. And sadness filled that man's eyes. But he also spoke of the hope that his son would one day mature and come to his senses, come back to the Lord and to his family. And it just shows us that we need to continually examine ourselves to see if we're still on the Lord's path or not. To ask ourselves, where are we headed as a family? To the Lord's vineyard where there is nourishment and work for us to do, or off to some other place? Where are we headed as individuals? What direction are we going? To serve God or to serve ourselves? I think that when we see ourselves as spoiled children, that we really are, then we're able to see that invitation of God to come back to him. Sure, at times our lives are a mess. We get overcommitted to too many things. We get misdirected. We get focused on wealth and pleasure and just taking care of ourselves. We haven't properly addressed the real tasks that the Lord has set in front of us in our lives, in our families, in our congregation. The truth is, there are people the Lord loves dearly who aren't going to be reached for Jesus because we haven't even tried to reach them. And that's serious. If we stop making excuses for ourselves and we really admit these things, then we can be blessed because Christ forgives us. He wants us to know that all our sin was crucified there with Jesus on the cross. Our laziness, our indifference, our lack of concern for those who are perishing, our inability to care for our children spiritually, and our problem of not paying attention to what God has said is to be of first importance to us. All of this, Jesus takes upon himself, and he crucifies it. He gets rid of it. What he gives us in return is his love, his compassion, his concern for others. He puts in us the desire to love others in ways that are far above just providing toys and entertainment and fashion for them, but lasting truth that will sustain their souls forever. Jesus gives us the power to make a lasting difference in the lives of people around us, people we love. Then we're like that other son. You know, the one who said, no, Dad, I'm not going to work in your vineyard today. He was stubborn. He was proud, just like us. But after a while, he realized all the good things his father had provided for him. Maybe he looked around and he saw other sons who didn't have such loving and compassionate parents. Or maybe those with no parents at all. Maybe he realized all the blessings he received because he was a member of the family. Whatever it was enough. He got up, he put his work clothes on, and he went off to the vineyard. It didn't matter if his father had slaves doing the work, the same work that he was doing. It didn't matter that the work was hard and he got tired out. It didn't matter that his older brother should know better and Yet he said he would go and work that day, and he never showed up on the job. It didn't matter because his father had asked him to help. And so that is what he did. People of St. John Lutheran Church, dear ones that the Lord has gathered around himself, those he has washed and dressed himself in the holiness of Jesus Christ, it is time for us to go and work in the vineyard. There is much for us to do today. I know we have a lot of guests here today, but I need to address something within this congregation this morning. I have to tell you, members, that even though this is St. John's 150th year, our financial situation is not what it should be. It's not good right now. It's like we've been celebrating so much this year, rejoicing for all the past that we've had, that we forgot a little bit of our regular responsibilities. You know how it goes. Every year we pass a budget here at St. John that's above what we think that we'll bring in. But we do that because we have faith to believe that God will open our hearts and we will be able to take care of the things we need to do, to see that the gospel is preached, that the children are taught, that our workers are taken care of, that the house of the Lord is kept in good repair. And every year we make it. But they're telling me that this year things are different. Our offerings have not kept up with the expenses that go up everywhere, even in the church. But I believe that the Lord has allowed this to happen in this congregation this year so we can refocus our sights on what we're about as a congregation in our 150th year, to set our sights on giving to the Lord as we have received from him. So our church leadership is looking for ways that we can be better managers of what we have, what God has given us. But we should all prayerfully consider how we can better support the works and the wonders that God does in and through this congregation in our lives and the lives of so many others. So I say to you, members, if you haven't kept up with your regular offerings this year, if this year and the years past you haven't increased your offering as you have to increase in all the other areas of your life, God is calling you to do that. I know fuel prices are up, but it's times like this, challenges like this, that are to be met with faith. Put your trust in God, the Lord. The work of this vineyard goes far beyond what we put in the offering plates. That's just a small part of it. Jesus invites us to serve him in whatever we do. We all have that opportunity to witness for him as we live lives of service to others, in prayer, in acts of kindness and compassion. These recent hurricanes provide plenty of opportunities. The world around us needs words of encouragement and faith as we encounter people facing hardship. I hope you can see that we are both of these two sons in Jesus' story. We have failed to answer the call of our Father to work in his vineyard. But because of Christ's forgiveness, we can now do the work that he gives us to do because of all that he does for us. And for all those sons and daughters out there who have wandered away from their families, their faith, and their church, and wandered from the promise made at their confirmation that they would always continue to labor in the vineyard, we pray that God will lead them back to us, that they may receive that eternal life that the Lord has promised. In his name, amen. May the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting.